It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. I am so glad you're here. Today, every once in a while, you get an opportunity to pitch and catch with somebody that's kind of in your lane. And today, we have one of those guests on. So I'm excited about it. We're going to talk about stocks, options, making money in the stock and options market. Our guest today is the founder of Power Trades University. He's got over a decade of stock and options trading experience. He's a podcast host. He's a YouTuber. And he believes that anyone can profit from the stock market, even if they've lost money before. They just need to know how to identify the best time to buy and sell and the correct option strategies that can supercharge returns and minimize risks. Now, this guest helps people go from nervous beginners to confident stock and options traders. We all love that. So not everybody's a beginner, but we can all learn from guests like this. So let's welcome Jason Brown to the show. Welcome, Jason. How are you?
Mark, I'm excited to be here, man. So thanks for having me.
So good to have you. Let's start a talk, just chat about this thing that I read before we got on. You started trading what, when you were 23?
Yeah, I actually started trading really when I was like 21 years old.
Okay.
It goes back a little bit before that when I was 18 and, you know, we kind of grew up poor. When I say poor, I always like to give respect to my mom. We had love, we had food, we had shelter, but you financially.
Were you were poor.
We were broke. There we go. We were broke.
You were so rich compared to a lot of people, man. So you were
very poor. Yeah. Rich with love. She brought us up in the church, but financially we were just missing that part. And so what happened for me, you know, I was like, well, how do people get wealth? How do they, you know, how do they make money? Because I started realizing there were big differences between the money we had and other people. Like, for example, when I went to my friend's house when I was like 10 years old, I was like, you have a bed. And he kind of looked at me like, yeah. And I was like, I thought only grownups have beds because we slept in sleeping bags. We didn't have beds. So I didn't know. I thought like, oh, you get a bed when you get older. I remember driving out to a female friend's house when I became like 16 to 18 and they didn't have bars on the window. I was like, whoa, I thought everybody had bars on their window. And so I started realizing that there was some differences between us financially. And when I was 18 years old, I actually took my graduation money, took $2,000 to a well-known bank. And I said, you know, I want to invest. And she was like, so what's your goal? I'm like, to be rich. Like, why else do people do this? Like, is there any other goal? And she was like, so you want aggressive funds? I'm like, yeah, I'm young. I want aggressive funds. And so that really started my journey to invest. And now by the time I hit 20 and came back, they lost $1,300 of my dollars. So that, you know, that takes me down the path of learning how to do it on my own. But I started at 18 because I just always heard the earlier you start, if you let it sit, you know, by the time you're 50, you'll be a millionaire. So I was like, all right, let me start early. So that's literally how my journey got started.
You started early, but you stepped in a hole.
Oh, man. I stepped in a pothole, just twisted my ankle. My confidence was hurt, you know, because I went to the professionals because I thought the professionals don't lose money. And so that was very eye-opening to me. So I was like, oh, you guys lose money too? And some people see that and they say, well, you know, you did better than I could have did. I had the opposite. I said, I could have lost my own money. And so I asked for the $700 that was left. I was like, give me that back. I spent $200 like on some gym shoes or something to make me feel better. But and I took the other $500. Like, I'm going to try this myself. And so, you know, I did. And, you know, that story, you know, I was working at Sprint PCS selling cell phones and making $8 an hour, $64 on a Saturday. And after they took taxes out, I made like $50. So I was like, man, if I could just make $50, I wouldn't have to work Saturdays. And lo and behold, Sprint stock was $5 a share. I had 500. I'm like, I can get 100 shares. And Mark, I'm like, I just needed to move 50 cents. If it moves 50 cents, I make $50. I don't have to work Saturdays. As soon as I bought at five, Mark, stock went from five to four. I'm like, okay, this doesn't work. Maybe it's not as easy as I thought it was going to be. Maybe I shouldn't have disrespected the professionals, you know? But something magical happened. It went down to four and then it came back up to five. And I'm like, okay, we're at break even. I just needed to go to 550. And the funniest thing happened, it went back down to 4. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I felt like it was a man behind like my shoulder with like a walkie talkie, like send it back down, you know, like don't let them make any profit. And I think a lot of people feel like that. So what happened, Mark, was it went back down to 4 and back up to 5. I said, I've seen this before. I'm going to get out at 5. It fell to 4. I got in at 4 and went back up to 5. I got out. I made $100. What I learned or didn't realize that day was that was a pattern called a channel in stock. Channeling between 5 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 4. So I spent the next months and all of my time understanding patterns, charts. And then I started to say, wow, if I had $1,000, how much would I have made? If I had $10,000, I would have been rich. And so I actually applied for a student loan because I had a scholarship to Wayne State University here in Detroit, which is now the Mike Ilitch School of Business. And I took that $10,000 student loan and I grew it to $120,000 as a 21-year-old college student because I understood those patterns. And that's what, like, I never looked back from there. I always
that was tuition. That loan was tuition. You just learned it in a different classroom.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I went the a different route of I went the sidewalk high.
Yeah, well, it worked because today you're still doing stocks and even options now on top of it. And you grew that $10,000 into six figures and, you know, you're off and running. And, you know, most people just don't have the confidence to say, I want to learn this myself. I have a saying, and if you're a listener of my Wealth Architect podcast, I say it all the time, every episode, never give up your power in your health, your wealth, or your time. Because, you know, so often you go into the doctor and he says, oh, you got 6 months to live. People, you know, they live five months and 29 days and then they drop dead on the sixth because they gave up the power to the doctor, right? So we don't want to give up the power either in our health or our wealth. Gosh, we learned about that in the last few years, right? With our health. Now we want to take control of our wealth too. And you know what, Jason? I know you agree with me on this. They just don't teach us this stuff in school.
Oh, they don't. They don't. And I still don't know why.
Yeah, we got to go in and then we got to teach people this stuff until they freaking make this as part of the curriculum. Because I don't know about you, I use money every day. I should know about it. But I had to go like take electives and figure it all out on my own. This should be mandatory stuff. The Copernicus and the, you know, Romeo and Juliet and the Pythagorean theorem, that should be electives. Like I don't use derivatives today, but I sure use how to, you know, buy and sell stocks and channeling stocks and things like that. So what's the next iteration? So now you're 23, 24, 25. You've got some success in the stock market. How do you start to leverage that up and increase the value of this story here?
So here's where the story takes a turn. So okay. I'm making $100,000 at 21. I do what any 21-year-old going on 22-year-old would do. I drop out of school. I'm like, why do I need school? Sure. I make more money without my degree and more money than most people I know working. So I drop out of school. I'm a full-time trader. Next 2 years, I'm also making $100,000. I go into year three. I'm about 24 years old. And in Michigan, there's a city called Royal Oak. And so I'm like, I'm going to buy the ultimate bachelor pad. I'm going to buy a condo in this high-rise unit called the Fifth Downtown Royal Oak, and I'm going to pay cash for it. All I got to do is flip this $250,000 into $500,000. So I risk $250,000 trying to make $500,000 and pretty much lost it all. And so I'm like, I got to go get a job. So I'm like, I have to move back home. I have to go get a job. It was the most humbling experience because up until that point, I had bought a Lexus on 20-inch rims. I moved out to the suburbs. I didn't pay any taxes because I heard I was going to be able to write all this stuff off. I was able to write none of it off. I was the typical young black kid from Detroit making a lot of money with no financial guidance. And I made all the traditional mistakes with no help and no guidance, didn't pay taxes, didn't start moving some of the money into more safer trades. I just messed it up, but it was the best. I look back now, it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I had to move back home and I had to get a job, but now I knew what my passion was. Yeah. And so I said, okay, let me get a job where I can live off my hourly. And then if I can make commission, then I'll invest it and get back into the stock market. So I went back to doing what I know I do, sell cell phones, but instead I went to Verizon this time. Verizon had tuition reimbursement. I said, great, I'm going to take advantage of the tuition reimbursement, go back and get my degree in finance now because I had dropped out and the scholarship ran out. So I go back, I end up getting my degree in finance. took me about 5 years to get out of debt, get back into the market, get back on my feet. But now I had a blueprint for how to live below my means, how to raise the capital, get back into the market. And so, and I also had a degree, which at the time when I had to go look for a job, every job that was paying six figures or more was like, you need to have a degree. I was like, if I ever lose all my money again, I never want to be in a position where I'm denied because I don't have that piece of paper. So I called it raising my floor. Like if I ever get knocked down, I don't want to fall through the floor and have to go back to my mother's house. And so the degree for me was called raising my floor. And so I went and got that piece of paper. But this time I started asking a different question, because back then I was like, how do I get 10,000 in the account? Grew to 100,000, grew to a quarter million plus. So this time I'm like, how do I get $1 million in the account? And then I was questioning myself, because I'm like, do I really know what I think I know, or was I lucky? And so I started taking some courses and studying, and I became as good as the teacher. And so then I lost some money again. I started being like, okay, do I really know? And so I took some time. I said, all right, let me vlog myself making this money back. Let me start a YouTube channel. They say you don't know a thing until you can teach a thing. Yeah. So I started teaching it, tweeting about it, and people were making money off my trades. And I became as good as the teacher. And I was like, I wonder if people would buy my course. I wonder. And I was like, well, first I was like, why don't they explain it like this so regular people can understand it? How come they're not talking about these different things? And so I was like, A, I'm going to explain it the way regular people can understand it. And then B, I was like, I wonder if people would pay me. And I was like, that's how I'm going to supercharge my account and try to get over $1 million into it. And that's what launched me to create Power Trades University and the Brown Report. The Brown Report was really just me vlogging about trying to make my money back after losing it all. And that's literally how my YouTube channel started.
I love it. And you, some of the best YouTube channels are organic stories like yours. But during that period of time, I want to know what kind of lessons in trading and maybe even about yourself did you learn? So you had some periods where you kept getting slapped down. You were like one of those weeds that you just kept growing, and then people would pull you and you had another seed and you kept growing, and finally you figured it out. So what are some of the lessons that we can learn along the way?
So that's where some of my most popular sayings come from. You look at the shirt that says, you never go broke taking a profit. That's where that came from. That time where I lost almost $250,000 pretty much. And then I had some other trades that just took the rest of the account out. But that time, at the moment, I was up like 50 or 75 grand and didn't take it. And that was where I started to realize, like, dude, you never go broke taking the profit. Like, 75 is closer to putting the down payment down on that unit than trying to make it all in one trade, which brings me to my second lesson, which is no one trade is going to get you there. So you don't have to bet the farm or, you know, need some one stock to go to the moon. No one trade will get you there, but one trade can wipe out your entire account. And so that's the other lesson I learned, which is one of my famous sayings to my members is like, make sure you live the trade another day. I didn't live to trade another day. I lost it all and I had to go back home. So now I teach people, take the small loss. Let's live to trade another day. Wait for the high probable setup, low risk time to buy, but the high risk return, and let's live to trade another day. So those are some of where a lot of my sayings and quotes come from, was like me literally trading, losing money and realizing like, dude, you never go broke taking a profit. Make sure you live to trade another day. Take a small loss. All of those things came from just my real experience of winning and losing money in the stock market that really didn't have to be. And so now I'm like, if I could teach people these principles and mental concepts, because making money, you could read books and watch all the strategies all day, but if you don't have the mental capacity to be in this industry, that's where most people get took out from. It's like, they don't have the mindset. They don't have the principles. And then they just come in and kind of look at it like a Las Vegas casino table and think it's just luck. And when they look at it like that, the house usually wins.
Well, it's just too easy for somebody to click a mouse and invest $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 and not know what they're doing. You know, they didn't have the foundation and the systems and the experience to be able to know it. They just think, oh man, you know, Jason made a bunch of money. I'm just going to do the same thing. And hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you know that, you know, there's got to be a system to everything, right? I always say mindset is 90% of investing anyway, but you've got to have a system around it. Otherwise, you don't know what you're doing. Like, because what happens, tell me if you agree, Jason, is like emotions take over and they make your decisions. And I don't know about you, but I make really bad decisions when I'm emotional.
Like, oh, man. emotions in this game are horrible. And, you know, when you think about emotions, I agree that they take over. And you say, what are some of the things you learn? I'll learn trade the chart, not your emotions, or trade the chart, not your bank account. So someone will be like, I'm down 10,000. I got to get out. I said, trade the chart, not your bank account. Because what happens, just like Sprint was going from 5 to 4, back up to 5 to 4. If you looked at the chart, you may be down 10,000, but the chart may say it's a high probability chance it bounces right here, right where you're like, but I'm down 10,000. I can't take anymore. Everyone gets out because their emotion gets the best of them. Then they say what? Soon as I get out, the stock went up without me. It's like you were trading your emotions and not the chart. And so it's so important to get control over your emotions, as well as not necessarily focus on the amount of money you're up or down, but focus on the skill, the craft, and what the technical analysis is telling you, assuming that you're trading technicals. Everyone doesn't trade using technicals, but Understanding your principles will help control your emotions.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so before we get too far down the trading road here, let's back up a little bit. Let's give people a foundation on financial literacy, and maybe talk about some categories of financial literacy. And then maybe we'll switch into some more advanced techniques on options and creating income from the stock market using options. So let's start with those financial literacy concepts. Hey, it's Mark Yeagy, author of this book on covered calls, here to tell you about my cash flow machine trading program that's designed to show you how I make safe, reliable income. Now, I shoot for 2 to 4% a month of income in my portfolio, and we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of it is that it only takes me about 20 minutes a week, maybe to an hour to implement. Now, while 2 to 4% a month may not sound like much, I show you exactly how I took my IRA from $111,000 to over $700,000 in just 23 months without huge risk. Yes, I got a little lucky, I gotta say, but I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io, or better yet, go to this link to get access to videos and masterclasses that explain the entire process, the risks and rewards even more. See you there. What do you think?
So I think the biggest thing in financial literacy that helped me was just understanding that you need to create room for margin of error in your life. And so most people live, they make 50 grand and they spend 50 grand, or they spend 55. So they're going negative $5,000 every single month. And I realized that when you live like that, you don't have any room to invest or take calculated risk. And so you have to understand, you know, living below your means and then having margin or room, whether that's in business, having margin to run Facebook ads or market, or in stock market, having room to buy a course or room to take that trade. And if it doesn't work out, you'll have another $3,000-$4,000, replenish it next month. And so that's a very important concept, because if you can invest $3,000, or let's say $1,000 a month, but if you can invest $1,000 a month, if it goes wrong, you lose $1,000, it's like, that's okay. I get another chance at it next month. Right. If it goes wrong again, I get another chance at it next month. I don't lose the house. I don't lose the car. And so living below your means, but importantly enough to create a margin so that you can take calculated risk, is a huge financial principle. The other financial principle I think is super important that is not really taught in, you know, I don't see anyone teaching it anywhere, is that you can have insurance on your stock portfolio. And a lot of people don't understand that. They just think it's all 100% risk. And I tell people, like, you have insurance on your car, right? And it's like, yeah, well, you don't realize it, but you have a put option on your car. If you smash it into the wall and it goes to zero, you call up the insurance company, you put the car to them, and they give you a check. That's a put option. You have life insurance. If you, God forbid, something happened to you, you can make your family whole. You could pay for the funeral. You leave your spouse or your kids some money behind. You have a put option on your life. When it comes to the stock market, we know the market moves three ways: up, down, and sideways. Most people only know how to buy low and hopefully sell high. No one really talks about having insurance for when the market crashes, for when the pandemic hits, for when someone flies a plane into the World Trade Center. People just think it's either going to go up or I just lose everything. And that's not the case. And that's what I thought. Had I had insurance back when I lost that $250,000, I might have made way more money from the stock falling. And so that's a wealth principle that's not really taught, is that you can actually buy insurance for your investment portfolio, and almost nobody's doing it. Your financial planner isn't usually telling you about it. They're just telling you, just keep averaging in and wait 40 years. It eventually comes back. But it's like, or I could have had insurance that would have made me whole this year, and then I would have been profitable as the market comes back. So that was something that was huge for me.
Yeah. You notice that I'm not talking very much, right? And if you listen to my podcast before, you know that I talk a lot. But in this case, you're saying everything that I completely agree with and believe in. I have a program called the Cashflow Machine where we do covered calls, right? And that's insurance on a portfolio. And it also happens to be something you can make money on.
Exactly. I call that the rental income strategy.
Exactly. You own stock, and we rent our stocks out. You know, we rent our Amazon. But you go to your typical brokerage firm, and I used to be a broker. And my firm, one of the reasons I started my own firm is because my original broker wouldn't let me sell covered calls against the stocks for these people. And all I did was they would recommend a stock, and it was my job to put it in their portfolio. And then I would watch it go down by 50%. And I'm like, what if we just created a couple of percent a week, you know, and this, no, we're not gonna do that. Options are risky, right? So it's not what you don't know. Like Will Rogers said, it's not what you don't know that's the problem. It's what you know that ain't so that's the problem. So they're like, options are risky. So everybody thinks options are risky, when in fact, the riskiest thing to do was to not sell options at that time. So you and I agree. Hey. Have a margin. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'm saying amen, right? Because to your point, I am flabbergasted how people can say options is risky. If you don't use options, you only can make money one way the market moves. That's if it goes up. We know that the market moves two other ways, sideways and down.
Bingo.
However, you go buy a house, what's the first thing you have to have? Insurance, life insurance, car, you have to have insurance. No one walks into their car dealership and says, you know, buying insurance is risky. No, driving without it is risky. However, they will let you drive your stock market vehicle without insurance and then tell you having that insurance is risky. It's the most mind-blowing thing in the world.
It really is something else. Yeah. Okay. So we definitely agree. All right. So we got a couple of really solid principles for people that are coming up the ladder. And that is, have a margin of error. Don't live beyond your means, you know, live below your means. And then second of all, have insurance on your stock portfolio. Anything else you want to add before I switch over to some more advanced stuff? You've already teed us up there.
And I think just really with financial literacy, just understanding that when you think about money, it is the most powerful game that you could ever play. You know, I understood early on that my money doesn't get sick. My money doesn't get pregnant. My money doesn't take vacation. My money doesn't like any of that. My money doesn't talk back. It doesn't catch COVID-19. And so when you think about it from that perspective, it is one of the most powerful employees that you can have working for you, bar none. Yet most people don't put their capital to work for them. So I look at, the principle is you have to look at money as an employee. And if you can stop working hard for it, you can learn how to have it work hard for you. Most people, they work for their money. You're employed by Benjamin Franklin. You're employed by George Washington because you're working every day to get that money. And we have to work, but you have to get to a point where you tip the scales and your money is working hard for you versus you working hard for it. I have to hammer that into anybody listening.
I mean, that's good. Well said. And one of the things that you mentioned, we talked about before, is how emotions are the enemy of the trader. I always believe that, you know, when emotions go up, intelligence goes down and vice versa. So, you know, one of the biggest emotions we have is fear, right? And I think fear is wired into our brain in trading the opposite way, right? When we make money, we fear that we're going to lose it. So we sell, right? But when it goes down, we should have fear, but instead we get greedy and we average in, we buy more, which we know is a mistake. So how do we harness that fear? How do we get control of it before it gets control of us, Jason?
So, you know, there's all these acronyms for fear, but probably the most famous one is false evidence appearing real. And for me, getting control of fear was really understanding what happens if I lose money, because no one really fears making money. But I think if you can get control of what happens when you lose money, then you can move forward without fear. And so for me, I would look at and say, okay, what am I afraid of? Is it, or first I said, what are most people afraid of? I said, most people are afraid of losing their job. Well, why? Because they really don't like their job anyway. So why are they afraid of losing it? It's like, oh, they're not afraid of losing their job. They're afraid of losing their income. I'm like, why are they afraid of losing their income? Because they use that income to pay for the car, pay for the house. I said, okay, so if we were back in Amish times and we lived just on the farm, you wouldn't really care if you got let go from your job, right? And you're like, okay. So now you have to think about, how can I remove losing, you know, my basic needs, which is food, shelter, and transportation? That comes in the form of trying to pay off a car, pay off a house, or maybe you don't need as fancy of a house. You just need something to get by so that you can create that margin. And so once you create that margin, you realize I have nothing to lose. There's nothing that can be taken away from me, which allows you to navigate risk a little bit more confidently. And so people have to understand what's really at risk. And the other thing I used to ask myself or tell myself is like, okay, if I don't go after this, because some people say, well, that's good, but I love my life. I have a house and a car. And so I said, okay, if I don't go after this, I'm already living failure. And a lot of people don't realize that they're already a living failure. Not mean they're failing in life. I mean, if you don't try your hand at the stock market, this is what life is going to be like. You're going to get up, you're going to go to work, you're going to get 2 weeks vacation. I mean, that's not bad, but you're already living failure. So you're like, if this doesn't work, this is the worst it can be. I have a good job. I have a degree. I think once you understand that, then you start to look at the opposite end and says, but what if this works? If this works, I can live like nobody else. I can vacation like nobody else. I can really get the house I want versus the one that I can afford, right? And so you have to, you know, but this is all mindset stuff. This is all mindset Absolutely. Stuff. And yeah. So once you get a hold of that fear, you can start to dream again and realize this is good, but it doesn't get any worse because I can always get a job. And so I trade like, you know, I trade so confidently now because like, okay, worst thing happened, I'll go get a job. It's not that bad, you know?
What's that? And in this country, you're never going to be starving. You're never going to not have a cell phone. You're never going to probably be on the street unless you want to be, maybe, I don't know. There's people that are unfortunate that are on the street, but you know, like we have a lot of benefits in this country. There's people that are going to pick you up when you fall. And so that fear is often just coming from the limbic system. It's unfounded fear. So that's the internal fear. But I want to talk about another kind of fear. And that's one I get from a lot of students. And it drives me crazy because I rail against this. But what about those external fears? The fears that when you flip on TV and you see Kramer on there telling you, sell, 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 right? Or you should do the opposite, but anyway, that's a different issue. But you know, he tells you what stocks to buy and he tells you that the market's going down and the Fed's doing this, and if you don't have a handle on it, you start to get sucked in, and that affects your decisions in your money and in your life. How do you handle that? Because it can petrify you and keep you on the sidelines.
So that's such a great question. And one of the things I realized was that you have to turn the TV off. And you have to believe in yourself. We always are turning on the TV to hear what someone else has to say. And we forget that Kramer has a job. Kramer has a job. It's to entertain. If you think about, if you take Kramer out of it, take the news. What is the news job? The news has a job. People think, oh, the news job is to inform me. Absolutely incorrect. No way. The news job is to keep you watching all day. Okay, so now we know, why do they need to keep, because I like to dissect stuff. Why do they need to keep you watching all day? Because people run ads on those commercial breaks, and that's how the network makes money. Okay, great. So how do we keep people watching all day? Fear. No one tunes in and watches all day. Everything's fine. Nothing's going on. Every show is like, you won't believe what Russia just did. The market in turmoil. Is it a good time to buy, and what this means for your portfolio, and why you might not want to do it.
Breaking news.
Oh, it's never breaking news. Everything's fine. Breaking news. Everyone's making money. Life is good.
Never seen that.
Never. Even when interest rates were low, there was never breaking news. Best time to buy a house. It was like, breaking news, they can't keep rates this low for too long, right? It's even when it's good, it's negative. Once you understand that, you like, got it. They trying to program me. Their job is not to help me make money in the stock market. Their job is to keep me watching TV. Once you understand that, you get the remote and you go, boop. Now, what do I believe about the stock market? Here's what I believe. Number one, no matter how bad it is, people are going to shop online. Number two, Amazon changed the game with two-day delivery. So people love it. They aren't going back. Number three, stock was at 200 after it split. It's now down to 100. It fell 50%. It is not going to fall another 50% because if you average that, that would mean the stock fell 75%. We forget they still have a core business, Amazon Web Server, two-day delivery, the best e-commerce platform. So we forget all of those things because we're watching TV. And once you understand basic business, it's kind of like a house. It'll never go to zero. Why? Unless people stop needing a place to live, you will always have some value in that land and in that house. And so you have to start thinking for yourself. And once you can start thinking for yourself, you're not turning to these people. And there's people you can turn to, but I just think most people's common place to turn is the news, which is all about fear mongering. And so I barely ever watch CNBC, not because I don't like it, or when I do watch it, I watch it to see, okay, how can I take what they say and really explain it to people so that they could be thinking about it in a different way? But I don't watch it to be like, what am I going to trade today?
I love it. I love it. I think that's probably a good place to wrap up. So turn off the TV and believe in yourself, everybody, says Jason Brown. So Jason, listen, you've got a lot of nuggets of wisdom that are coming out. So I really appreciate it. And where can people get more of this nuggets of wisdom from you? How can they find out more and work with you?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. And one of the questions that I get is, you know, do you work with, you know, regular people? And absolutely, I'm a regular person. Those are my most favorite people to work with. And so you can find me at thebrownreport.com. On that page, what I like to tell people is, if they're not as familiar with the stock market, we have what's called the Stock Market Starter Pack. It's going to walk you through what I call the three most profitable patterns. If you learn these three patterns, I'm literally telling you, you can make a ton of money. We talked about one, which is channeling stocks. And then if you're a more advanced investor, like some of your listeners, we also have the Stock Option Starter Pack, where we talk to people about how they can start doing a rental income strategy, or more importantly, how they can start buying insurance against their portfolio, because we all know stocks don't just go up, they go down. So they can get either or both at thebrownreport.com.
I love it. So listen, you guys got to get a little bit more of this guy, because he knows what he's doing and he's lived it. That's the most important thing. He's not just one of those teachers standing at the front of the room with theory telling you this is what you do. He's got better theories because they're actually laws. And they're put into practice by his actual experience. So Jason, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you're here. I think we can learn a lot from your experience and the way you came up through the ranks to make it a success. And people go to that link. It'll be in the show notes. But thanks again for being here. I appreciate it.
Mark, I appreciate you. Thank you.
And those of you listening and watching, remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody. And see you next time. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yagi. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.